The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Afternoon, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines, I refer to as USA Inc. Today is a Monday and it is a hot and humid day here in North Carolina. It has not rained over the past couple of days, which is good. Was able to get out there and cut some grass, but I tell you, it is hot and humid in North Cackalacka today. So hope that y'all staying cool out there as most of the country continues to experience a heat wave. I know I haven't seen any recent news on it, but I would assume California is still on fire from all the brush fires and whatnot. So just hoping that everybody is safe wherever they may be behind these enemy lines. I know that's not possible, as one of the stories we'll be focusing on today will be the recent police killing of a young black man in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is in Milwaukee County, which is where proxy racist Sheriff David Clark, I tell you, that man right there, I tell you, he's one of the most dangerous proxy racist tools of white supremacy I have ever come across. I'm serious. This dude go harder than racist suspects, I'm telling you, man. And so we know from our research all over the country, and I'm speaking about New Abolitionist Radio, a weekly program that comes on Wednesday nights on this network, which I co-host and, you know, sit in as a producer as well. And we know from looking at the data, not things that we think about or we assuming this or assuming that. No, we looked at the data. We looked at the publicly available data, which has been collected not only by non-governmental organizations, but, you know, the reports that this state puts out itself or the numbers they put out, and other people glean those numbers and then produce their own reports. And nowhere in the United States of America Incorporated do they target black men like they target black men in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's just a fact. They have the highest per capita incarceration rates for black males than I would say on the face of the planet. It has to be on the face of the planet, because don't no other country lock up more people than USA Inc. in the various states that are part of USA Inc. Nowhere on the planet, not even in China, not even in North Korea. Now, you just think of what is, you been told, is the worst country on the face of the planet in terms of they lack freedom and liberty, and, you know, they just throwing them all into these work camps and stuff. No country can hold a candle to USA Inc. in terms of taking away people's freedoms and liberty and throwing them in the work camps that we call prison plantations, where corporations can come and hire people, come to the plantation and give them customer service jobs or have them processing meat, fish, and poultry. My little brother, who unfortunately was a enslaved African in this modern day slavery system here in North Carolina for a time, they had him working on a turkey farm. And yes, my brother was innocent. An all-white jury convicted him of breaking into somebody's house with not even any evidence whatsoever. But all-white jury, I wasn't even here at the time. I was off being a proxy racist tool of the system in the military. That's where I was while they were locking up my little brother. So, but yeah, nowhere on the planet do they steal more freedom, more liberty, and more labor than here in the United States. So that's one of the main stories that I want to talk about today. I got a couple of just one other story that I want to share that has not gotten much mainstream corporate media attention, and that is the what did Red Cross do with $500 million to build homes in Haiti when it got hit by the earthquake? They took in $500 million. More than that was given in all, but the Red Cross by itself took in $500,000, which they said was to build homes for needy families in Haiti. Well, they got the money, but I don't see enough homes that would cost $500 million. I'm sure. I don't know who the hell they was paying to build six homes in Haiti, but it cost $500 million because that's all they built. $500 million. Damn, we could have got Jimmy Carter in what is it called, Habitat for Humanity and whatnot. We could have got them to go over and just pay their airfare and pay for the materials, and you know, it wouldn't have cost $500 million, and you would have got far more homes out of it than just six. One of the things I found out about the Red Cross that I did not know, and I just had a relative who worked for them, and she got injured on the job, and they tried to not pay her a settlement for her injury or whatnot. She had to end up getting an attorney. So I learned a lot from her about the stuff that the Red Cross do. But one of the things I did not know is that the Red Cross is actually an extension of the United States government. I did not know that. They are supposed to answer to Congress. And so I will be writing my congressman and asking them to account for the $500 million that the Red Cross, that Congress has oversight over. All right. What happened to that $500 million, and how come we only got six homes built in Haiti for $500 million? So I'll be sending him that letter tomorrow. All right. So before I get to sharing some of the details of the news, let me go ahead and just share some network news with you. Today I will be the only one live streaming on air today. Black Talk Radio News Tando Radio Show will be on at 6:00 p.m. but it was done this morning, so it will be a pre-recorded broadcast of Tando Radio Show at 6:00 p.m. Eastern Time. And we certainly, you know, appreciate Brother Dave, the host and producer of that program. You know, when he finds that, you know, he's not going to be able to make it at his regularly scheduled time, he makes an effort to record content for you, you know, record his show in the morning and get it out to you that evening. So definitely appreciate his hard work and his dedication, you know, to bringing you news and information that you could use right here on Black Talk Radio Network. All right, so some of the other network news, if you have not heard the news, we have launched a social media community. I believe I've been talking about it, but I rolled out a new release yesterday. For those who had joined the site or visited the site, that is community.blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's the web address. But the name of the community is BTR Community, because it's an extension of this platform, Black Talk Radio Network, which is also managed by the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. So we heard over the years, it hasn't been just this year, but we've heard over the years black people saying we need our own platforms, we need this or that. Usually it was after somebody got put in Facebook jail or something like that, or banned from Facebook for 2 weeks or however long they banned people for and put them in jail. People mad because they delete content that they feel doesn't violate anybody's terms of service and what have you. I know I saw a video that a well-known producer put out about Google Maps wiping Palestine off the map, off of Google Maps, and just making it be Israel and not showing that Palestine actually exists and is a nation that is recognized by hundreds of other nations. And so you would think that's non-controversial or whatnot, but I've always had my sneaky suspicion that Mark Zuckerberg is running a Zionist operation over there. And so they deleted that person's video. I was like, you got to be kidding me. All they did was show how Google Maps took Palestine off the map, wiped them off the map. Talk about wiping a nation off the map, wiping a people off the map. Google literally did it. And Facebook deleted that video because they didn't want y'all to know that kind of information. So we've heard people complaining over the years. I started researching it this year. What all do I need to do to build a Facebook-like social media network? What I need to do? So I did the research. But I did not have the funds to obtain the different software that I would need. So I think it was last week. Somebody, you know, had mentioned about what's her name, Corinne Gaines, the young black woman who was killed by police. By the Baltimore County SWAT team. It might have been Baltimore City SWAT team, but killed her, and how they had shut down her profile on Facebook and deleted her videos and stuff like that. And people were complaining then. So I said, look, if y'all want another Facebook, if y'all want your own platform where you don't have to deal with Facebook, I know how to do it. I've already done the research. We just don't have it in the budget to purchase the software. Lo and behold, not an hour after I said that on air, a person stepped up, donated $200. Then another person stepped up, donated $50. Then yet another person stepped up, donated another $50. It still wasn't enough to cover it, but it was in our budget to provide the rest. And of course, my labor is free. You know, I don't even pay myself a salary because it's not in the budget. So all the work that I do, I am being paid. I'm being paid with the satisfaction of knowing that I don't have to be regulated or you know, I don't have people that can take something away from me. Like when I was on Blog Talk Radio and they didn't like the name Black Talk Radio and a bunch of racists complained about the name. They couldn't complain about the content. Well, I guess they could, you know. And so they suspended me for a week. Looked at my website. Oh, you got black, red, and green. Red, black, and green in your website and all that. And they suspended me for a week. You know what? That motivated me to build Black Talk Radio Network, and we've been going strong ever since. So that's a payoff in itself. Just to say to the racist white supremacists, keep your damn platform. I'll build my own. All right. So, you know, although I'm not getting paid monetarily, I am getting a whole lot of satisfaction from this work. All right. So the BTR community is up and running. I rolled out what will be the last release in terms of what the website will look like and how it's set up. Now, I will be adding more functions to it later. We don't want to add too much because, see, you add too much stuff, then that starts, you know, slowing down the website, and you know, people then aren't getting the content, you know, almost instantaneously. So I'm not going to put a whole bunch of stuff on there. It's pretty much set right now, but there are some little things that I do need to add in the future as resources come in. And thank you to all of those who have been joining. It is a subscription-based website. It's not free. Okay, it's $1 a week subscription, or $5 a month, or $24 a year, which comes out to just 50 cents a week. All right, for you to have a safe digital space for black people and black expressions and what have you. So people have been joining since we opened it up, and I'm just happy about it. I'm happy. I'm just so happy and ecstatic. Am I still using Facebook? Yeah, I'm going to use Facebook for business. I'm going to use it for business and to pull black people off of Facebook and let them know, you know, we got this platform over here. No, we don't have $1 billion from some venture capitalists investing in us, but we want to fund it ourselves by just having these subscriptions. And as the website grows, we'll be able to hire a staff. We'll be able to expand our work into different black communities around the nation and actually put brick and mortar Black Talk Radio media centers, I should say Black Talk Media Project media centers, running a localized digital radio station. And guess what? Also a localized social media platform. That is the vision. That is the long-term goal of Black Talk Media Project. We are not going to be begging anybody for money. Definitely not going to the bank. Definitely not going to these white supremacists. I'm turning to the people. All right. So that's some of the network news of the day. Now, let me just get to this first story that I want to share with you. I have posted links to this in the profile for today's program, but I also put it in the events section on our new community, community.blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's where I'm at right now. And let me pull up this article from the Huffington Post. This article came out actually last year, but it has been recirculating, and I just wanted to bring it to your attention again, because I'm sure a lot of people gave money, and I'm saying not that their racial classification matters, but I'm sure a whole lot of people gave a whole lot of money thinking that they were going to help these very people who needed the most help at the time. And they gave this money to the Red Cross because Red Cross been around for I don't know how many decades. I don't know, you know, but I know the Red Cross. I heard of the Red Cross. I know their little logo. I actually given blood at the blood bank. And so I think that's a reputable nonprofit organization. So I ain't got a problem giving my money to these people. And guess what they did with it? It all went basically on salary. Most of it went in there in the individual administrators' pockets in the form of salary. And I'm sure some contractors and stuff got paid off to, you know, friends, family members, and things of that nature. But, I mean, them people still are suffering over there in Haiti. And this is just inexcusable. And although, you know, this story may be a year old, I'm still going to write my congressman. And I'm going to tell, I just came across this. I had no knowledge of this. What do you know about this? You know, have y'all done an audit? When is the last time the Red Cross been audited? You know, so here's the story which originally appeared on ProPublica. The neighborhood of Campeche sprawls up a steep hillside in Haiti's capital city, Port-au-Prince. Goats rustle in the trash that goes forever uncollected. Children kick a deflated volleyball in a dusty lot below a wall with a hand-painted logo of the American Red Cross. In late 2011, the Red Cross launched a multi-million-dollar project to transform the desperately poor area, which was hit hard by the earthquake that struck Haiti the year before. The main focus of the project, called LAMICA, an acronym in Creole for A Better Life in My Neighborhood, was building hundreds of permanent homes. Today, again, this was published in 2015. Today, not one home has been built in Campeche. Many residents live in shacks made of rusty sheet metal without access to drinkable water, electricity, or basic sanitation. When it rains, their homes flood and residents bail out mud and water. The Red Cross received an outpouring of donations after the quake, nearly $500 million. The group has publicly celebrated its work in Haiti, but in fact, the Red Cross has repeatedly failed on the ground in Haiti. Confidential memos, emails from worried top officers, and accounts of a dozen frustrated and disappointed insiders show the charity has broken promises, squandered donations, and made dubious claims of success. The Red Cross says it has provided homes to more than 130,000 people, but the actual number of permanent homes the group has built in all of Haiti is 6. After the earthquake, Red Cross CEO Gail McGovern unveiled ambitious plans to develop brand new communities. None have ever been built. Not going to read the rest. Y'all can read the rest. It's pretty doggone long. If it was originally published in ProPublica, then I know that the writers of this article put a lot of investigative journalism into it, and they're providing you with a bunch of links to their sources and a bunch of facts. So just want to again let you know, that just because you've heard of these organizations and they've been around a very long time doesn't mean you can trust them with your money. Doesn't mean that at all. Now I wonder how much what is that R&B singer's name? I can't. He was with the Fugees. What is his name? Wycliffe John, I think is his name. Wycliffe John. He had set up his little charity, because that's where he's from and whatnot. But he did not get that much money. He did not get that much money to donate it to his efforts. And then I shared with you not just weeks ago, I shared with you, there is a black man who plays for the New York Giants who is of Haitian ancestry. And when I say that, I know Haiti is a nationality. It is not a racial classification, but his parents are from Haiti. He's an African descendant person. And this person built 54 homes by himself. He's a professional football player for the New York Giants. And on his own, I don't know if he got some other people to match the funds he was putting down. I can't recall from the details, but he got 54 homes built to match the number of his jersey. So that one man by himself did way more than the Red Cross did. And they took in $500 million. Wow. Wow. I tell you, it's crazy. All right, that's all I got for you on that Red Cross deal. I am going to write my congressman because I learned from another story that the Congress has oversight of the Red Cross and they need to be audited. They need to be audited. They need to give an account for where this money went. It's a damn shame. Damn shame. And that's not even a mention what the hell the Clinton Foundation did. And Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, was overseeing all of this. Even her brother got in on it as he sits on the board of a mining company. And the proxy racists over there in Haiti, the proxy racists who are Haitians, why in the hell they put Bill Clinton in charge of their relief efforts? Because now they're complaining about all this money. Where did all this damn money go that was donated? And y'all ain't done jack. Y'all ain't done a thing. So the Clinton Foundation was there. Bill was there. Hillary was there representing USA Inc., talking about she overseeing it and all that and this, that, and the other. And look, it's still a doggone mess, man. It's still a mess. And, you know, for all the money that was given, very little was done. So I'll leave that alone. I'll leave that alone. It just blows my mind, man. Blows my mind. Tell you. Now, I want to get to this story about the most hateful black man I ever come across in America. Hateful, just very hateful. And I'm talking about Sheriff David Clark, who, by the way, this is was a trip. And this is to show you just the level of deception this man engages in. He, from what I've been told, I don't live up there, so I've never seen his name on the ballot to see what party he belonged to, but I've been told by credible sources that he's a Democrat, that he runs as a Democrat on the ballot, so that a bunch of black people will see, you know, those that don't do research, that do participate in politics, but they don't research. They just go in there and they look for D's beside a name and they vote for it. So he does that on purpose. But when the last time you ever seen a Democrat give a keynote speech at a Republican National Convention, which he did, and the Republicans and the conservatives love him because he deals in stereotypes. He denies that racism exists. When asked about racism in policing, he said, oh, that got done away with in the 60s. Really, dude, come on, come on, come on. And this man really should be under investigation and prosecuted for comments that he has been making towards Black Lives Matter and telling people to attack them and to kill them and calling them subhuman scum that need to be wiped off the face of the earth. This is the language from this man. You know, if a white sheriff got up there saying the things that this man says on Fox News and CNN and in Washington, D.C.'s most prestigious paper called The Hill, where he published an op-ed piece and said that there is a war and Black Lives Matter is the enemy. If a white sheriff said the things that this man has said, man, you better believe the kind of heat that would be coming down on that white sheriff. But because he's black, he gets a pass. Oh, he's black too, so he can be racist and he can say racist things and he can deal in stereotypes because he's black. So he got a pass. No, the fuck he don't. Excuse my language, but no, he don't. He don't get no pass from me. He don't get no victim status from me either. Victims, in my opinion, do not go around victimizing other people. You can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You either going to be on the side of the white supremacists and upholding that system, or you're going to be on the side of justice. And this man clearly is not on the side of justice. He's a proxy racist. His mother's white. I think his father's black. Somebody's black. I know his mom's white. He's married to a white woman. So he might got some daddy issues. Maybe daddy couldn't put up with his mama mouth or, you know, and I don't even know if they was ever married. I don't know. But he got some issues, man, because he seemed to really, really hate black people. He just really do. And poor black people at that. He has his most disdain for poor black people. Now, he gave a press conference about, 20 hours ago, a little over 24 hours ago, maybe. He gave a press conference. I did not listen to the entire press conference at first. When I started listening to it, he was making a little bit of sense when he started talking about the underlying issues like no jobs, like no investment in education, poor schools and whatnot. But then because he is so infected with anti-blackness, he started talking about the stereotypes and whatnot. So I cut it off at that point. I was like, you know, I only want to listen to this once. I will break down if there's anything to break down when I play it live on the program. So let me pull that video up for you. The hateful proxy racist Sheriff David Clark gives a press conference. Let's get that to load up for you. Let me turn the volume up a little bit. Here we go.
Okay, good late afternoon. Thank you for being here. I just wanted to give you folks a briefing on in terms of what our activities were last night as the situation unfolded in the area of 43rd and Hour.
Oh, by the way, let me just go ahead and set it up. I know I set it up at the beginning of the program, but a couple of days ago, a young black man, let me tell you his name. Let me pull that up because that's important, knowing the person's name. I know I wrote it down. Let me find it for you. Here it go. Okay, Seville K. Smith, 23 years old. He was killed. The police shot him after they chased him. Well, I should say an officer shot him. A cop shot him. And a black cop. See, that's why I say, man, when it comes to racism, white supremacy, and the use of the tool of proxy racist, and other people use other terms, they might call them, you know, whatever they call them. But anyway, racism and white supremacy isn't so black and white anymore. There's gray areas in there. And I know proxy races have always existed, but we didn't know what they were at the time. We didn't really know. Okay, so a proxy racist is a non-white person who belongs to an oppressed group, who then joins the oppressor group for some butter biscuits, a little bit of position and a title and a little bit of authority that the white supremacist gives you to operate in his name. And so, you know, a lot of people get confused, man, and that's the reason why they use them so well against us. I tell you, that is a very lethal weapon. Got a lot of black folks confused. But anyway, Seville K. Smith, the 23-year-old, was pulled over. I still haven't found what is the reason why they pulled him over, other than two black males in a car, in a rental car. Because the only thing I've seen from corporate media is, and again, I admit I haven't spent 2 or 3 days researching this because I've been busy building BTR community and doing other stuff, but I have been peeking in on it and what have you, but I have not seen a reason given as probable cause to pull these two men over in the first damn place. Driving while black. That's what happened. Because they didn't say, oh, he had a broken tail light, or he crossed the double line, or he was speeding, or he was driving too slow, because you can drive too slow and get cited for reckless driving. No, none of that. The only thing I've heard is that they saw the car, saw the men in the car, thought it was suspicious, pulled them over, and this young man ran from the police. And again, I just want to stress, don't ever run from the police. Don't run, because you ain't going to outrun them. Can't outrun radios. Look, I ain't going to tell somebody how to act behind these enemy lines, damn it. I don't know what he was running for. He was probably in fear for his life after he didn't hear David Clark issue all these threats and telling all of these races out there to kill black people. You know, maybe he was in fear for his life in Milwaukee. So he left. He jetted. He ran. Now, allegedly, they said he had a gun. But again, I ain't seen no video. I don't know if the cop was wearing any body cams. I don't know if there were any security cameras that might have caught the incident. But just because they say he had a gun don't mean that he had a gun. All right. And they plant guns on people. I'm reminded of Alabama with all those black men that got sent to prison by this narcotics union. I forget the city it was in Alabama, but investigation was done and they found that this one unit of narcotics officers had sent over 1,000 innocent black men to prison by planting drugs and guns on them. So when I hear, oh, he had a gun or he pointed a gun at him, I don't necessarily believe that. I need to see that with my own eyes. And I know they lie. I know they lie. Because that black proxy racist cop down there in North Charleston lied on his report after Michael Slager shot Walter Scott in the back and then planted a taser on him. And the black proxy cop who saw the whole thing turned in a false police report backing up his white racist buddy on the force. So they lie. There's plenty of examples of them lying. I've been doing this long enough to know these are not isolated incidents. I've been finding and reporting on enough stories over the past, I would say, not just 8 years, 9 years since I've been doing this radio program. Maybe under a different name in the first year, but I've just seen too many stories, man. It's not isolated. So until I see the video or somebody that I find to be credible tells me something different and they saw the video or something, I'm just not believing anything that come out the slave catcher's mouth, because I know they lie. I know they plant drugs. I know they plant guns on people. So although I would never run from the police, I'm not going to sit up here and say somebody else shouldn't have ran from the police, because I don't know. I don't know what was going on. They might have had some outstanding slave catcher warrants out on them or something like that for something frivolous, because we know how they just target black communities. We see them. Baltimore FBI report or DOJ report just came out. Ferguson report came out a year and a half ago. All right. Report after report we get, and we see how they just target black people to give them tickets or to slap, charges on them just so they can make money. Slavery has never ended in this country. It is very profitable. I've talked to cops. I had on a cop not that long ago, from a retired cop from North Charleston, was on the same police force as that person, and I asked him about the quotas, and he was like, yeah, some of them do have quotas, but even in the ones that don't have an official quota policy, it's an unspoken policy, and you're not going to advance in slave catching unless you catch slaves. You're not going to get a promotion, and if you got to make up some stuff, then you make up some stuff. So I don't want to hear, oh, he had a gun. If you ain't seen no video, I ain't trying to hear that. So let's go ahead and listen to the most dangerous proxy racist in the country right now, David Clark.
Sherman Boulevard is 43rd Street. And a little bit of a briefing moving forward into tonight. I'm going to start with a timeline. Well, actually, what I'll do is I'll start by saying this, because there's a lot of misunderstanding, I think, in terms of what causes these situations. The police use of force serves as an igniter, there's no doubt, but to an already volatile situation, a volatile mix of urban pathologies, failed urban policy that exacerbates an escape.
I'm going to tell you right now, I cannot stomach it. I can't stomach it, man. There you go. Urban pathology. What the hell is an urban pathology? See, he's talking about that racist science or pseudoscience called phrenology. You might have seen the movie Django, and, Mr. Candy had the skull of old Negro Joe, and he was examining the skull and saying, these three knots back here on the Negro skull, that makes him passive. That makes him passive, because I was wondering why old Joe ain't never cut my daddy throat, for holding him into slavery and all that. But phrenology, pseudoscience based in racism, and that's what he's talking about. I'm not going to play it because I was in a good mood when I came into this program because of the way the work is progressing, and I'm not finna let him steal my peace. I'm not going to let him do it, because I've heard him enough to already know what he's going to say. And he already then started in there, the urban pathologies. Now, what the hell is a urban pathology? Did he just make that term up? Is that something, is that his politically correct way of saying scum, like he called them the last time, like he called them subhuman on Fox News that time? Subhuman scum is what he called them. I'm sorry, I can't listen to it. If you can stomach it, I link to the video. You can go watch the video. But I'm not going to let this man steal my peace today. I'm not going to let him do it. I don't want to hear his hateful words. I don't want them entering into my ears and disturbing my spirit. I'm not going to let him do it. I'm just been feeling too good today. Well, over the past few days, been feeling too good to let this proxy racist tool make me angry today. So let me go to the phone lines, area code 414. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead with your question or comment. Can you speak up a little? I can't hear you.
Give me 1 second.
Okay. All right. Take your time.
You hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Okay. Greetings. Thanks for taking the call. Chiming in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I don't know if you remember me calling in a little while ago, and I was talking about the gas station worker that
yes.
came outside, shot in the air because there was some disturbances going on outside or whatever. after the alleged shooting happened, or the murder, that particular gas station, because the shooting happened close to that area. And well, let me just start with this. Right after I called in and told you about that situation, we had like a couple of homicides in that exact same area.
Mm-hmm.
And because the guy, I told you the guys had started to basically shut the gas station down by protesting, and they made the owner actually do something illegal, which was take the gas prices under $2. So that kind of like caused the disturbance amongst the I would say the business owners and the quote unquote business leaders of the community.
Okay.
Because the guys was out there selling like waters and things that you could get inside the gas station. So after that situation, we had a couple of homicides that happened right there. And then right before this situation happened with the officer involved shooting, it was 5 homicides like the night before. Okay. So to bring it back up to the present, right after that officer involved shooting, that particular gas station that I'm speaking about got burned down, like literally like to the ground. So after that, it was a reported 74 fires in the city surrounding this whole this whole thing. And I'll say this, I've been a regular caller, and I think at one particular time I expressed my frustration being in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that my spirit was sensing and feeling what we are experiencing now in Milwaukee. And it's like being in the middle of it, like, okay, seeing other situations happen, Ferguson, mm-hmm. Baltimore, and just
right.
fill in the city. Actually being in the midst of it right now.
Okay.
I didn't have an emotional reaction because of a Black Talk Radio Network and the information that is provided. So being able to take a more codified stance, it's just, I see the confusion working overtime.
Okay.
You got the showcase Black people that's, coming up, and, on our quote unquote Black radio station, we had the mayor on, and we had another elected official on, you know, spitting the same narrative, be calm and, you know, don't burn down your own community, you know, all of that, you know, just the same old thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of anti-blackness, you know, amongst the people, everybody getting on the young people that's rebelling. And this is what I will say. On social media, it's a video out of the guy's brother, and he has his carry concealed card. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, like, basically, man, you know, y'all tricking us. We don't got the same rights that y'all got. You know, we got these cars and, you know, we getting shot anyway.
Right.
You know, and the report that the news reported first, the first time I heard the news, they said he was shot in the back.
Okay.
Then I heard that they said, oh, he had a gun with like 500 round bullets, you know, 500 round clip, and he turned at the officer and he got shot in the chest. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the last tidbit that I'll add is they saying that the officer is a black male.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think I might have mentioned that, but I read that too. Have you heard if there's any video? Was the officer wearing a body cam, or was there?
Yep,
any?
They not releasing it.
Okay. They have not released it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They have not released it. So let me just confirm this. The officer had a body cam. Should have recorded the video. It appears they do have video, but they're not releasing it.
Not releasing it yet. And the mayor said he's seen a still video of it. And they got a picture of the guy, the picture of the fallen victim online holding the gun, you know.
Okay.
And they said that the officer left town because he in fear for his life. Oh, and one of the most important things, the National Guard, are they saying that on the national news that the National Guard was called in?
To be honest with you, bro, I've been tied up in building a new platform.
Yeah. So the National Guard was called in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your boy,
David Clark,
Mr. Clark, he was the one that called for the National Guard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a question for listeners out there. Now, David Clark did say this. Again, I just can't. You know how I feel about him, so I just couldn't stomach, you know, sitting through a 12-minute video of him talking. All right, but some of the things this morning when I first came across the video, he was talking about high unemployment, failing schools, and then he ventured off into the anti-blackness, the absent black fathers, and not really getting into, well, why they absent? And could it be because they the most targeted freaking group in the city or in the county, you know? So, but is that a high poverty area? Is that, you know, what's the job situation like there? What's the school situation?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the are you talking about the city period or the area where the homicide happened?
Yeah, the area.
That particular area, I would say, is probably quote-unquote middle class.
Okay.
You know, because you have homeowners in that area, and you had – it was a popular fish spot,
mm-hmm.
That was right there. But that recently closed down, so okay. That could be a telltale sign that the area could be going down like the rest of the city.
Okay.
But for the most part, that's not the poorest section in the city. No, not at all.
It's not. Well, what about the city overall? You know, like where I live here in this rural area in North Carolina, you know, the number one employers were like cotton mills and stuff. Well, cotton is dead. And I tell you, man, the only jobs is at McDonald's or working in a department store or at the mall. Yeah.
Walmart, you know, like Walmart, McDonald's, you know, the little fast food places, and you got a few factories that people going into. But you have it's a sad situation, man. Like a lot of our older males and females hanging out on the corners drinking, you can just see that a lot of the people are broken. You have younger black males now at the gas stations hanging around asking for change. You can see, I'm 35, so you can see a lot of people my age and maybe a little younger just kind of out in the streets. You know,
hustling,
you can
probably
tell that they're not employed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know, it's pretty, it's bad here.
Okay.
I was born in Gary, Indiana, and that's where my family came from after the migration from Mississippi.
Okay.
And so my auntie, she just recently left and moved to Tennessee, and she said, you know, this looked like Gary. You know, how Gary was looking before we left there. You know, Gary had the steel mill, and then once that closed down, you know, it's been kind of a sad situation. So, like, a lot of the industry jobs have closed up here. And
and I just heard,
that's why you see what's going on.
I just heard the CEO of USA Inc. Announcing in a press conference or something. I posted the video. I ain't had time to watch it, but he was talking about pushing that TPP, that Trans-Pacific Partnership, that most of the people, from what I can tell, do not want, and they blame these trade agreements for the loss of jobs here.
Yeah, I mean, but like you be pointing out on the New Abolitionist Radio, like, what if, not what if, but you know, some of that is fluff because a lot of the jobs is in the prison,
right?
You know,
that's true.
A lot of the companies just, you know,
Fortune 500
work
companies.
The people in there.
Yeah, Fortune 500 companies, man. Yeah.
I just wanted to chime in and kind of vent a little bit. Like, you know, I feel, you know, I've been, man. Honestly, I've been saying I wanted to get out of here for like the last few years. Just haven't found a way out yet.
Okay.
I'm still working on it. And with all of this taking place, being a little less confused than I was, it's really just I'm not a hopeless feeling, but just kind of a down feeling, you know, feeling just like my task may be just a little harder, you know. I don't know, like, you know, they imposed a curfew for the kids, so the kids got to be in at 10 o'clock. You know, just with everything going on, man, you don't know if they're gonna lock the city down or, you know, or what. It's just kind of a tense time. You know,
well, I just hope that you stay safe, you and your family. Stay safe behind them enemy lines up there, because you at ground zero for where they target black males. And just know, bro, that you, I don't know if you're a spiritual person, but I will keep you and your family in my prayers.
Thank you, and thanks for taking the call.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for the report from ground zero of where this is going down. We got another caller. I got two area codes, 561, the one you just heard your mic unmute. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, sir. It's just a comment from the last caller about Sheriff Clark releasing the deploying the National Guard.
Could you speak up just a little bit so the listeners can hear you more clearly? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. It was just in regard to your last caller. Sheriff Clark did not deploy the National Guard. He can't even control that. It was the governor, Scott Walker, I believe is his name, he deployed the National Guard. So
okay,
I just
sir.
To
yeah, sir. He
that.
Yeah, you didn't need to, because that's not what he said. He said that David Clark called for it, meaning he put out a public call, you know. Right, he doesn't have the authority to do it, but he has the public bully pulpit to put pressure on the governor to do it. If he's at ground zero and he say we need the National Guard, you know, that's going to carry some weight. So that's what the caller was saying. I didn't get that he, you know, said I'm deploying the guard. He just called for him to be called out. Okay. Did you have anything else?
A lot of him, but speaking of the young men, I know a couple of military over there, you know, on the you know, like lawyers, and I believe like one senator talked to them. They got, you know, some inside scoop on what's been going on, like his arrest record. I know you said earlier you need to see video, but the gentleman had a very, very lengthy arrest record. I mean, with about 10 counts, not too sure how many felonies or misdemeanors, but he wasn't a poster child for Black Lives Matter. And I why they decided to riot, and of course, I mean, I don't agree with destroying property, but however you can get out your anger or your frustration, if you think that is the best course of action, by all means, do it. I don't, you know, necessarily agree with it, but for them to do it for this particular situation, you know, I don't think is called for. And I did agree with Sheriff Clark with some of the things he was saying, because for this particular situation, I don't think, you know, the protests, you know, was called for. This situation and also the Mike Brown situation, two situations in which the people did have records and which Mike Brown did assault. Okay. Someone, of course, it doesn't call for the death penalty. I'm totally aware of that. But for you to, that you let your righteous indignation burn so greatly as to destroy property, as to want to kill and hurt officers.
Let me interject right there. Do you know that most of the people, though, they not thinking logically. They not thinking like that. We're probably, and I don't want to deal in stereotypes, but from the demographics, we probably dealing with people who have been frustrated for so long for whatever reason that when something happens, they take the opportunity. Also, let's not forget, I remember during Ferguson, that they caught people who were not part of any kind of organized protest. These were people who came in from other places and started firebombing stuff and things of that nature. So we never know, you know, what are the primary causes. But in terms of, you know, this person having a, like you mentioned, his record, I don't care about his record. I don't look at that. I don't look at that because nobody's perfect. I'm certainly not a perfect human being, and I don't have a record. But let me tell you, I have engaged in crime as a young man. I just did not get caught. There's a lot of criminals who hold public office right now who just have never been caught. So I try to look at the incident. I don't look at the cop's record because we never know. Hell, this cop might have had several complaints. So for at this point, with this just, you know, with the lack of information, I'm just saying, considering all the things that I have reported on over the years on these type of situations, I need more information. I want to see the video.
Now, so you didn't know he had a stolen semi-automatic?
No, I don't know that.
And you can't falsify. Yeah, they just reported it. I'm not too sure when it came out. I'm just reading this yesterday, and from the sources I have, he had a stolen automatic loaded.
Okay.
And I know you were talking about falsified police reports, but things like that first of all, that type of gun fully loaded, you cannot plant that necessarily on.
How come
someone.
You can't?
First, the biggest thing is the fingerprints in the body cam. As your other caller mentioned, there was a body cam. And
okay, they didn't release the cam. We haven't seen the video yet.
Okay, well, I'm not so much at liberty to talk about it. I've seen video. That's all. I'm just going to leave
okay,
it.
Okay, so you've seen the video that nobody else has seen, not even the mayor.
No, there's video out there. I don't know if.
Can you point us to that video? Is it posted online? I want to see it.
No,
can you send it to me? Can you send it to me?
I'm not at liberty to send anything. The video is going to get put out. The source or whatever, the video is going to get put out there. And when you see the video for yourself, you will know, and so will the world know. That's the only reason why I'm able to speak in this way. The world will know what happened. If, you know, indeed, like you said, there are cases where guns are planted on people. I've seen videos where cops are planting drugs on people. I was a victim myself as a young Black man with a cop trying to pin something on me. But those cases, point cases, make up less than 1% of the real.
Okay, so what's your source of that, that you can put a figure on it, that less than 1% of all arrests have nothing to
federal
do with
fe-
with cops?
Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Look, bro. Okay.
I'm listening to you.
Okay, look. I've been doing this a long time. I don't do this as a hobby. I take this reporting very serious. The guys I work with on New Abolitionist Radio, we dig in these reports. We dig
in.
So
what does your numbers say? If mine say less,
there is no numbers. They don't put out statistics on a percentage of people who have been set up by cops. There's nobody keeping that statistic.
No, not set up, sir. I'm sorry. Not set up. Killed by cops. I'm sorry. I wasn't talking about set up. I was talking about killed by cops.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I agree with you there. But, no, most of the interactions are not resulting in death, but there are far too many of them. There are just far too many police-involved killings.
But if it's less than 1%, how is it far too many?
Because one is one too many. One innocent person being killed unjustly by a cop or anybody else is too many. That's too many. Now, when we got over 2,000, we got
the black-on-black crime that's going on in Milwaukee.
See, there we go. With the anti-blackness already. No, dude. No. I let you speak. And I remember you from the last time you called. And, you know, you want to go to the black-on-black crime. What does black-on-black crime got to do with cop-on-citizen crime? It ain't got nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. Aren't cops supposed to be better than criminals? Huh? Obviously, crime happens all over. I live in a predominantly white neighborhood, have lived here most of my life. My family has lived here before there was a United States of America, okay? Before colonial times. That's how long my family's been on this land. Now we are surrounded by white people, and let me tell you, it's a lot of white on white crime going on where I live. Because you know what? Ain't no jobs. The cotton mills have closed down. They selling drugs. They using drugs. They drinking alcohol. They breaking into people's homes. They stealing farm equipment. They're stealing ATCs. All-terrain vehicles, I mean ATVs. They're stealing whatever they can steal. But I don't ever hear when one of these white dudes get killed by cops, I don't ever hear anybody come up with the excuse, what about white on white crime? Crime is crime. Ain't no qualifier to it. They don't fall for the racist propaganda. That's what racists do. Whenever we start talking about a cop killing a citizen, here come the racists. But what about black-on-black crime? Or what about black abortions? Or what about it? That's a totally separate issue. Totally separate. Criminals aren't given training. They're not given badges and guns and the authority of the state to go out here and police other people and kill people. They not licensed to kill. When a black a criminal kills somebody, they go to prison. If they get caught, they go to prison. They get prosecuted. That's not always the case with police officers, and there lies the problem. It doesn't matter if less than 1% of the American population, which is 300 million, is being killed by police. That don't matter. That's still thousands of people. I did not see this many casualties when I was in the Gulf War. I did not see these many casualties on the reports. I think we may have lost, less than 100 people? In a war zone. Okay, in a war zone. These cops are doing too much killing. Now, am I going to say that a cop is wrong for if somebody points a gun at him or her and it's trying to kill them for them to kill that person? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying I want to see video. I'm a very logical person. I'm a very objective person. If anybody points a gun at me, I'm going to shoot them. Try to kill them before they kill me. That's just a fact of life. That's what I'm going to do. Okay? But in terms of this case, you know, obviously you're saying you got access to video. Ain't nobody else seen but the police. So, you know, trying to suggest you got some kind of inside connection and all of that. Well, if you can't, you know, tell us what the source is, if you can't talk about it, then don't bring it up. Don't talk about it. We'll see if the video gets released and we'll see what it shows. That's all I'm saying is don't believe anybody. Don't believe the mainstream media. Don't even believe me. You check the sources. You check my sources. You double check. You're supposed to have two or three sources of information. And longtime listeners of this program know I tell you, do your own research. Don't believe everything just because you see it on TV or the news reporting it or the politician said it or this person said this or said that. You got to see it for yourself. You got to do your own investigation. In terms of why these people, whether he's worthy or not, most of them people probably don't even know the dude, and it ain't about him. It's about everything. It's about racism. It's about white supremacy. It's just an expression of outrage. Doesn't matter. They've just seen it too much, and they tired of it, and they letting off stress or whatnot. But again, you know, every time these white kids riot after a sporting event, burning up cars, destroying property and all that, they don't get the third degree. I don't hear no white men on the radio or any white callers calling in the white talk radio talking about these damn white kids, white on white crime, and why did they have to do this? I mean, it's just a doggone football game. It's just a baseball game. Why are you out there destroying property? You know, I don't hear people giving them the third degree. But we're talking about a slave catcher who allegedly may have killed a person who, you know, don't nobody know until we see the video. But they seen enough around the country. They seen enough videos of innocent people, and he brought up Mike Brown. So what if Mike Brown did not have no long record? So though, let's just get that. He was a high school graduate about to start college. So, you know, this is the wrong program, dude, if you think you're going to get me off on some tangent or you know, I'm going to check your anti-blackness and hope that we can eliminate that anti-blackness in you and you can get a little codification and what have you. But yeah, anyway, moving on. I'm actually over time. I was only going to do an hour today because I got work to do, but this is also part of my job. So I think he just hung up. I think that was Brother Sin. I was about to come to you, Brother Sin, but it looks like you took yourself out of queue. All right. So, look, I'm just waiting for more information to come out. But I'm sure that the people who are doing whatever they're doing in the streets, it don't matter. It ain't going to matter what the video going to show. What people don't seem to get is that there is something brewing out there in the streets. It ain't about isolated incidents. It's about the totality of it all, of the oppression, of the continued enslavement, of the destruction of our communities. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on, but I'm not, because I'm out of time. Want to thank the callers for calling in and sharing their perspective, particularly the caller from Milwaukee giving us a report from Ground Zero. Appreciate that. And let me see. Today is Tuesday. So Tando Radio Show pre-recorded broadcast will be on at 6:00 p.m. Eastern time. I believe that's the last program we have tonight. Also, I should have gave this at the beginning in terms of network updates. I'm waiting on TuneIn to change the stream for the radio program, because we got, like, you know, thousands of people that follow the station on TuneIn and use the TuneIn app, and I put in a request for TuneIn to change the stream over to our new server, and they have not done it yet. And so the old server's still up and running. I don't know when it's going to go down, But that's one of the things I got to get working on. I got to get the new station programmed and get some content on it so it'll be ready for when they actually do switch it. But in terms of the network, I'm going to go ahead and start switching it out and putting new media players or changing the streams in the media players so that the listeners will be getting the stream from the new station, because the old station may go down at any moment. So anyway, that's what's going on. Let me get off these airwaves so that I can get to work on this station. Again, if you have not heard, we have launched a social media network for a safer and better Black experience online. You can visit us at BTR. I mean, the name of it is BTR Community, but you can visit it online at community.blacktalkradionetwork.com, a private social media network. It is subscriber-based. Just click on registration. It'll have all the information you need, and we hope that you will become part of the new BTR Community platform. All right, with that said, I'm out of here. Y'all be safe out there, because it's just too much going on. It's too much going on. It's a war zone out there, and people are dying every day and getting enslaved every day. So you just got to be, like the first caller said, you know, he's less confused. He's more codified than some of the other people out there in the streets. So we, you know, got to stay, battlefield aware. We got to stay battlefield aware so that we don't become easy casualties of the system. With that said, peace and blessings to all. I will see you all right back here tomorrow for another broadcast of Black Talk Radio News right here on Black Talk Radio Network, providing you with new Black media for the new millennium. Peace to all.